Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. After nearly 7 hours of a stalemate on the floor, House Republicans finally voting on advancing President Trump's mega bill of spending and tax priorities to floor debate. ABC's Mary Bruce.
And the speaker says he remains optimistic and hopeful, says they're making progress. He wants to get this done later tonight. And reminder, they can only lose 3 Republican votes and still pass this.
Some Republican hardliners expressing alarm over Senate changes to the bill that will increase deficit spending. A jury acquitting Sean Diddy Combs of the most serious racketeering charges he faces, but convicted of prostitution charges, and the judge deciding that Combs will not be released ahead of sentencing. Combs still faces as much as 20 years in prison. In a Boise courtroom, Brian Koberger entering a guilty plea to the murders of 4 University of Idaho students while they slept. A Hamas spokesperson saying the group studying a 60-day Israeli-Hamas ceasefire proposal from the Trump administration and will have a response by Friday. This is ABC News. Tesla stock rose on Wall Street even after reporting global electric vehicle deliveries below Wall Street projections.
Tesla uses a direct sales model, which means our best proxy for how vehicle sales are doing are deliveries. And deliveries for the electric vehicle manufacturer are down significantly, off 14% from a year ago. The company was recently the target of widespread demonstrations against CEO Elon Musk's actions in the federal government. Tesla is also contending with a more crowded and competitive electric vehicle market.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. The CDC is now recommending at-risk adults in their 50s or older get an RSV vaccine. The previous cutoff was 75 years old or with a pre-existing condition. The formal recommendation means vaccines will be covered by insurance for those who qualify. The Women's Professional Baseball League will hold tryouts next month at the Washington Nationals ballpark as it moves closer to launch. The league aiming to play its first season with 6 teams starting next spring. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
A doubleheader in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Mets tonight in Game 2 of their doubleheader at Citibank Field in Queens. In Game 1, home runs today for the Brewers by Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins with his 5th of the season. Then, top of the 6th, bases loaded. Milwaukee's Joey Ortiz with his 2nd at bat.
There's a drive deep into left field, and it is a grand slam for Joey Ortiz. And then some. The Brewers have blown it open in the 6th inning.
It was Ortiz's first career grand slam as the Brewers beat the Mets 7-2. Did it help they held the Mets to just 2 hits?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you see it from the offense when the starting pitcher is doing what he can out there to get us back in to go swing. I mean, the offense usually stays locked in all game, and the process is more important than the results at times, so you just kind of got to grind through.
That's Brewers shortstop Joey Ortiz with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, warm and muggy, a low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, highs upper 80s to near 90. Rain chances return for the 4th of July and the upcoming weekend. High temperatures stay in the 80s through the holiday weekend. Right now, it's 80.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, I put another candle on the old birthday cake, and I do mean old, plus Sherita Booker, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, and Sean O'Malley.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
That say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at beautiful Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Got a busy show coming up for you today. Friday is the 4th of July.
It is?
It is the 4th of July. So we will be off. All three of us will be off. We have a specially curated show all put together for you. We have some of our favorite prior segments.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for some company on Friday, the 4th of July. But Dan Schaefer normally joins us on Fridays. He will be here today instead, so we can do some recombobulating, not that there's anything going on.
Well, also, too, on Friday, if you are listening, there will be Free Ticket Friday.
That's right.
And it will be fresh and new, and you can participate, and that will be in there on the show. We will be announcing that word.
Yep.
And you want to make sure you get that Civic Media app, open it up, text the show, text that word, because on Free Ticket Friday, the 4th of July, it's all good.
Yeah.
We're giving away tickets for the July 11th game against the Washington Nationals. The Senators are like a team from like the 20s. They're taking on the Washington Senators.
Hey, they're going to play baseball. It's a four-pack of tickets of club-level seats, by the way. They're really good seats. Yes. So, yes, Free Ticket Friday, even though we're doing a specially curated show for you on Friday, we will continue with Free Ticket Fridays.
Yes.
So, anyway, Dan Schaefer's going to be here after the 9:30 news so we can recombobulate. It is the first Wednesday of July.
Oh, yes, it is.
So, Darren Von Rooten will be here in hour number two.
I love when he's here.
I do, too. And he is a farmer in Wisconsin. We're going to talk tariffs. We're going to talk the state budget. We'll talk the federal budget, snap cuts, all those things. Darren Van Rooten here after 10 o'clock. And then we didn't get around to it yesterday for our audio sorbet after 10:30. We had planned something, and then the budget was breaking in Wisconsin, and Senator Kelda Royce called in, so we kind of had to bail on that. Today, we will go back to the worst ice cream. Because we didn't get to finish it yesterday. So start thinking about it now. What is your worst ice cream?
And we will read the responses we did get yesterday. Some people did text us in. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Those will be read on the show today.
That's coming up after 10:30, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Snake on a Plane edition.
Oh, I wonder whatever this could be.
It's kind of a lot like it sounds. So, yeah, stick around for that. That's at the very end of the show, around 10:51. Wanted to start off with some breaking news from this morning. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Molly Beck reporting, Wisconsin Supreme Court invalidates the state's strict 1849 abortion ban. Women in Wisconsin will continue to have access to abortion services under a new ruling from the high court, which invalidates a 176-year-old state law, which had banned abortions in practically every situation. Mm-hmm. The ruling was 4-3. The liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court affirming the lower court decision that had overturned this law from the 1800s.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the big problems was it didn't define anything in that, because back in those days, they weren't going for nuance in the description within the law. It was just, it's banned.
And the amount of what they knew about just women's health in 1849 was considerably different than it is now.
I would not say that much compared to our leadership around the country. Mm. I feel like they really go on an 1849 basis of their thoughts on women's health and bodily autonomy and things of that nature.
Well, it's back the good old days.
Yeah, you know.
1850s were
back
great.
When the ladies were property.
And knew their place. Yeah. Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet said the Wisconsin state legislature had effectively repealed that 1849 law when it enacted additional laws regulating abortion access. So again, this is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. This is good news.
This is
good news for women's health, yeah, because abortion is healthcare.
And also this is good for everyone. As we've spoken to Dr. Hanks and Dr. Lyerly, access to abortion care, access to health care is something which affects everyone. It affects the women who are giving birth. It affects the men who are involved. It affects everyone, because when they try to take away certain rights, it starts with one group and then it can go with another group and then so on and so forth. And before you know it, you're being told what is and what isn't health care, and not your doctor, but legislators,
yeah,
and
some lawmakers.
So this is good for everyone.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. Again, if you are just joining us, Wisconsin Supreme Court has invalidated the state's strict 1849 abortion ban, so women in Wisconsin can once again access abortion services under this new ruling. And I also think, and we've talked to Dr. Hanks about, to Dr. Lyerly about this, if we want more doctors to move here, mm-hmm, they have to be able to practice medicine.
Yep. Yeah.
This is happening in other states. They are losing OBGYNs.
Yes, they are. They absolutely
because are. Of laws like this. Mm-hmm. So this is good.
Yeah. This is one of the things, you know, from a economic standpoint, we can look at it and say, you know, I know that Robin Voss has talked a lot about both attracting and retaining people in the state. And I'll just give you a very personal example. My sister has told me over many times, she was born and raised here. She loves Wisconsin. She doesn't want to move here because of the way they
because
treat
of the
women.
Politics.
Yep. The way they treat women, the way they the laws harm women. And I'm not saying that I'm going to go back to her now and say, look, come on in. But this is a step in the right direction, in my opinion.
We want young families to move here.
Yes.
It's tough to tell them, come move to Wisconsin. Increase the size of your family. Have more children, except if you have problems with your pregnancy, then you probably don't want to be here.
No, exactly.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, not at all. Now we just have to get them to work on the stoppage of closures of hospitals and maybe open a few and, you know, and help people in the rural area because, you know, they vote too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Ben from Richland Center texting in, listening on WRCE, just asks, for people who oppose abortion, I want to ask, if you stop a woman who's 1,000 miles away from having an abortion, how does that make your life happier or better? They feel that I really do believe that for people who are very adamant on one side of this issue, they believe they are saving a life.
Yes,
they do.
And they also generally, I don't want to make assumptions, but it's pretty much a given that it is also tied to a divine sort of mission. So for them, they see it being an intervention of a divinity, like they're doing the good work of God. Now, I'm not going to get into that aspect. I can't tell you what God thinks because we don't talk that much.
No,
but it
never.
That's the thing.
Calls.
It doesn't come down to a. I don't want to say a logic. I don't want to insult anybody, but if somebody doesn't get an abortion who's 1,000 miles away because of a law or whatever, they feel like they're part of a victory, and that makes them feel good. And I don't like that it makes them feel good because I feel like other people are suffering because of it. But I think the question is, how does that make them feel good? It's not just like they're not evil. They're not being, they don't think they're evil.
No.
And I get that.
Of course not.
We just thoroughly disagree.
Yes. But again, as of today, this is where we are right now. So that 1849 abortion ban in Wisconsin is gone.
Yep.
And women can once again access health care. This still falls under, from what I understand, because this just broke as we were coming on the air. There are still plenty of restrictions. It's not like you can go in. I believe there's still a waiting period. I believe you still have to get ultrasounds and all of those things. So it's not like all barriers have been removed.
Yeah.
But again, at least now our doctors and people, women who are seeking health care, because it is health care, don't have to worry about, I don't know, going to prison.
And I don't want to be the person who, excuse me, I don't want to be the person who snuffs the light out in this story, because it is a good story. It's good news. We still have a legislature that probably could put this on a ballot and make people vote. I mean, this is far from being solved.
A done thing. Well, it's interesting looking at some of the comments on social media. Some who are on the opposite side of the issue are like, yeah, well, you know, maybe now we can stop campaigning on this, because it's a losing issue for them.
I mean, the best example of all of this is when they tried to pass a total abortion ban in Kansas, not California, not New York, not
Massachusetts,
not hippy dippy West Coast, or the liberal elite educated East Coast, Kansas. And it failed because people realized that abortion is healthcare, abortion access is healthcare, and having access to that healthcare is important, even if it's not something you would do yourself. Just makes sense. And we're seeing examples out of various states, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
A lot that now we are just literally turning women into incubators. And that didn't stand for Kansas.
Yeah, well, because they put it on a referendum.
Yes.
And Kansans massively voted against, you know, permanently banning abortion. So now they just want to stop constituents from being able to put anything on a referendum.
Yeah.
That's how to get around that.
They changed the rules when they lose.
Exactly. We don't like what they did, and they were successful in this, so let's just make sure they can never do that again.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds like democracy to me.
Doesn't it, though? Change the rules in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
In other news, what a shock. Gee, let me sit down. After weeks of opposition, Ron Johnson falls in line with a yes vote on Trump's budget bill. Say it's not so.
Does Ronald Johnson not stand for the people of Wisconsin anymore?
But Ron was he's there to protect our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children's future by not increasing the deficit and not increasing the debt, Greg. And now it's like, yeah, that's never mind.
Because he remembered, wait a minute, because he didn't talk about other people. He talked about his children and his grandchildren. Then he realized one day he woke up in a cold sweat going, oh, wait a minute, my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids and so on, they're going to be fine. I'm very rich and I'm a senator. It's a yes vote for me.
I'm good. Go ahead and vote.
Let's tax them poors and cut Medicaid. All right.
Yeah. So members of the House now, after the Senate passed the budget bill yesterday.
Yep.
Now members of the House are scrambling to get back to Washington, D.C. I've seen a number of them because there's bad weather apparently along the eastern seaboard. So a whole bunch of flights have been canceled. So we have a bunch of House members now who are doing road trips trying to get back to Washington in time so they can cast their votes on this.
I'm never watching that movie. A congressional road trip where everyone comes together.
Road trip.
And learns.
Oh, wow. That would be something.
Did you see the videos and the clips of Senator Fetterman just whining about, like, I want to get this done because it's vacation time.
He's missing his beach time.
Yeah.
He's missing his beach time.
Pennsylvania, you got sold a bill of goods.
Yeah. I think his health problems have gone deeper than people realized.
Yeah.
But yes, Rojo is not like, yep, we're good. He got promises. He got assurances that they're going to deal with his issues down the road.
2 weeks.
I think in 2 weeks.
They're going to deal with it in 2 weeks.
I'm pretty sure it's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, we'll take care of the whole thing.
When we return, we're going to have a little update for you on this $40 million statue, Garden of Heroes. Garden of Heroes.
Never heard of it? You're about to.
This is what we're paying for in this budget. We're fiscally responsible. Yeah. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. On the Civic Media Radio Network, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
So if you're listening to this as a podcast, you wouldn't have heard the intro music, but I'll tell you, the name of it was Metallica, Hero of the Day with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, because I'm a nerd and knew that off the top of my head.
You
so,
did. You yep, knew it instantaneously,
yep, knew
Calvin.
It instantaneously.
That was a big hit for Mr. Bach over here.
Love Metallica.
Yes, you can always join us at 855-752-4842. I want to give a shout out to our friend and colleague, Terry Barr, here at Civic Media. We call her the genie of just about everything.
Yeah.
She's involved with our music show on weekends, Max Inc., which has won all kinds of awards in Madison and around the state. And Terry also does a great job in our news department. And so if you miss things from our show, sometimes she'll grab a story that we did. Like earlier this week, we talked to Matt from We Got This Garden.
Yes.
And she took a little
Alex
from We Got This Garden. And it's a program in Milwaukee that helps inner city kids get involved with gardening and they get paid for it. And it's a really great program. But she grabbed that and then she turns it into a news story and puts it on our website. Yes. Terry does great. The woman's won Emmys.
Yeah. That's another one of those individuals here at the company. We're like, hey, when do you sleep?
Seriously. She is involved in so much stuff, and just about like everybody here at Civic Media. But I want to give a special shout out to Terry because she does such a great job for us. And check that out. Go to civicmedia.us and click on news.
Yep. Yep. You can find, and you'll find all sorts of great news stories from all of our correspondents all over the state. Local news, statewide news. Brittany Merlot is another one, multi-award winner, writes wonderful stories about the environment and the weather and like big weather topics, like whether it's natural disasters or heat waves or bugs or whatever.
You name it.
Yeah. We've got a great dedicated staff that you may hear on the radio once in a while, but they are behind the scenes making things work.
Working their butts.
Oh, yeah.
So shout out to everybody and shout out to Terry. Thank you so much for that. Hey, we mentioned this yesterday very briefly because some of the things that got snuck into this budget bill that no one seems to be aware of.
Yeah.
And how did it get there? We don't know. It was just airdropped in there. Someone put it in the budget. Nobody's claiming it.
Well, when we went to bed, then the magical elves came out and started writing proposals.
And put things in this budget.
And then all of our shoes were fixed, too. And then we woke up and they were gone.
And we had new heels. It was amazing. So we mentioned this Garden of Heroes.
Yeah.
Garden of Heroes. $40 million of taxpayer money we're going to shell out for a sculpture garden. Representative Joe Neguse was questioning one of the Trump administration's officials about this yesterday. Calvin, I believe we have that clip. Can you play that, please?
What about the Garden of Heroes? $40 million for President Trump's Garden of Heroes. Can't we? Why not just say, you know what? We've got a huge deficit.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the most prudent way to spend our taxpayer dollars. Let's just reallocate that $40 million. That's a bridge too far for you?
Well, I think there's not a bill that I've read and reviewed since I've been a member of Congress, certainly since I've been the budget chair, that I felt lived up perfectly to what I thought we ought to do in stewardship of tax dollars. And what I thought was consistent with the constitutional scope of this federal government.
You could understand our struggle because, as I said, last 7 weeks, you've testified a few times here. Every time you testify, this bill gets more expensive.
Yeah.
And the answer is always, well, down the road, you know, of course, we could address this and there are ways in which we can try to identify potential places where funding, where potential cuts can be identified and so on and so forth. Here is an example right in front of you. $40 million. You could take care of that today. There's an amendment, I believe, that was submitted. You could rule that in order and say, you know what, we're going to put that $40 million towards deficit reduction.
Something.
If you're serious about wanting to address the fiscal health of the country.
Yeah, yeah. $40 million. We could use that someplace else.
And he was speaking to Congressman Jody Arrington from Texas, who is the chair of the Budget Committee. Yeah. And I love that. Like, this seems like a no-brainer to me. $40 million for 250 statues, and it's going in the White House, right?
Or no, I believe it's going to go somewhere in South Dakota.
Oh.
Politico says the plan is to unveil 250 life-sized statues in time for America's 250th birthday next year on the 4th of July.
How are they going to get all those made?
Well, that's kind of a problem because apparently we don't have enough sculptors in this country to get this done. Again, gaming out the idea.
Yeah.
Here's the thought. What will happen if we do this? How will we make this happen? Where's it going to go? Who's going to sculpt them? How are we going to get them made? How's this going to happen? Yeah, no, it's just like, we want $40 million for a statue garden. It'll be great.
You had 249 years to plan this. You could have done it a long time ago. But
they could have been building them up to, making them up to this point.
Also, what do you want to bet they're going to farm some of these statues out to other countries?
China.
Maybe China. We'll find out more in 2 weeks what the plan is. But it goes back to that notion of, do you think we can get rid of it? Do you think it's a problem that we have deficit spending and you want to spend $40 million on a Garden of Heroes? I'm going to say that again, Gardens of Heroes, which sounds like something you wrote of a Thor movie. Can't say yes or no to it. Can't say, yeah, it's great. I love it. Let's do it. Let's make two of them. Can't say no. Can't say, yeah, you're right. This is a ridiculous waste of money.
I don't know why you can't say no.
You can, but they can't.
The plan calls for a suitable space to be identified, which is yet to happen, although South Dakota has offered a spot near Mount Rushmore.
Gross.
Because that's what he wants.
We only need enough time to make one statue, everybody.
We got news coming up next, and then some recombobulating on the other side with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mama, they tried to break me. Mama,
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. After nearly 7 hours of a stalemate on the floor, House Republicans finally voting on advancing President Trump's mega bill of spending and tax priorities to floor debate. ABC's Mary Bruce.
And the speaker says he remains optimistic and hopeful, says they're making progress. He wants to get this done later tonight. And reminder, they can only lose 3 Republican votes and still pass this.
Some Republican hardliners expressing alarm over Senate changes to the bill that will increase deficit spending. A jury acquitting Sean Diddy Combs of the most serious racketeering charges he faces, but convicted of prostitution charges, and the judge deciding that Combs will not be released ahead of sentencing. Combs still faces as much as 20 years in prison. In a Boise courtroom, Brian Koberger entering a guilty plea to the murders of 4 University of Idaho students while they slept. A Hamas spokesperson saying the group studying a 60-day Israeli-Hamas ceasefire proposal from the Trump administration and will have a response by Friday. This is ABC News.
A doubleheader in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Mets tonight in Game 2 of their doubleheader at Citibank Field in Queens. In Game 1, home runs today for the Brewers by Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins with his 5th of the season. Then, top of the 6th, bases loaded. Milwaukee's Joey Ortiz with his 2nd at bat.
There's a drive deep into left field, and it is a grand slam for Joey Ortiz. And then some. The Brewers have blown it open in the 6th inning.
It was Ortiz's first career grand slam as the Brewers beat the Mets 7-2. Did it help they held the Mets to just 2 hits?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you see it from the offense when the starting pitcher is doing what he can out there to get us back in to go swing. I mean, the offense usually stays locked in all game, and the process is more important than the results at times, so you just kind of got to grind through.
That's Brewers shortstop Joey Ortiz with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, warm and muggy, a low in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, highs upper 80s to near 90. Rain chances return for the 4th of July and the upcoming weekend. High temperatures stay in the 80s through the holiday weekend. Right now, it's 80.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, you'll hear Matt Rothschild and the guest host chair helping you and your family gear up for a big July 4th weekend. He's got thoughts, and I want to hear them. So do you. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. We'll leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 2 to 4, the Todd Alba Show. He will be joined by Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, talking about not just the state budget, but the federal budget. In second hour with Todd, what's worse, Summer Street Event Edition.
Yes. I was like,
it's coming. Summer Street, it could be a lot of things. Todd, today from 2 to 4 p.m. Delighted to be joined by Civic Media's political editor and the creator of a multi award-winning recombobulation area, Dan Schaefer, is here. I bet you've been busy the last couple of days.
You know, as someone who lives at the intersection of state and national politics and NBA basketball, yep. it's been a very newsworthy couple days
no
here, Jane.
Doubt.
I'm a little discombobulated, I must say.
Well, we're gonna talk about your new best friend a little bit later on. We'll save that. We'll leave that little tease mm-hmm. out there. Dan Schaefer is a new fan.
Yeah, I know.
He's got some pull.
Something like that.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk, though, about budgets. We can start with the Wisconsin state budget. We did talk to Senator Kelda Royce yesterday, who called in towards the end of our show. And not all the Democrats are happy with these compromises that have been made.
Yeah, I think there is, you know, some division within the Democratic Party in Wisconsin among assembly representatives and state senators who are not sure what to make of this budget deal. The budget deal announced 5 a.m. yesterday by Tony Evers and legislative Republicans also included Senate Democrats. And I think that, to me, is really standing out as one of the most interesting pieces. Of this, the fact that Dianne Hesselbein, Senate Democratic Minority Leader, was invited to the table, because I don't know what kind of budget would have been signed if they did not step to the table late last week when there was kind of this impasse and they realized that the Republicans realized that they were not going to be able to pass a budget with only Republican votes. So I think that really gave, you know, Senate Democrats some certain level of leverage. They were able to notch some certain wins. But you're right. There is some disagreement about among Democrats about this bill. I got a press release this morning from a coalition of groups led by Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Education Association Council, Wisconsin Public Education Network, and WECAN, Corrine Hendrickson from WECAN, who I know mm-hmm. has been on the show a number of times, all encouraging state senators and representatives to vote against the budget and encouraging Tony Evers to veto the budget. So there is clearly, I think, the public education piece is one that has people most fired up against this budget. But there are a number of issues that people are looking for, hoping for more wins in this budget. A rare moment that Democrats had some measure of leverage and, you know, they got some things, but did they get enough? I think that's the big question right now.
Well, and that's the big, like, so at the risk, I'll say it out loud, at the risk of looking completely stupid, when the news came out yesterday, it was announced by Governor Evers and the Republicans. We got a press release from the Main Street Alliance that praised the compromise. And it seemed like, oh, well, because when we talked about yesterday on the show, we're like, does this feel like a win? I feel like this is a win. This feels like good stuff. And then Chris Larson comes out while we're on the air yesterday and says he's going to vote no. I saw something from Francesca Hong, who's an assembly rep or assembly member from Madison. Kelda Royce, if you listen back, I didn't expect to hear, like, she was not thrilled with it. And so it sort of took me for a loop to say, like, oh, is this bad? I feel like what the Republicans were proposing versus what was agreed upon yesterday is far and away not what I expected. Like, I was like, this seems like a trick to me. Like, well, this seems too good.
Because, again, if they hadn't come to a deal, we would have reverted to the previous budget.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. We would have gone to the previous budget, and that introduces a number of questions, you know, as the state is kind of planning things out, particularly for schools wanting to know what level of funding they're going to be able to plan for this fall. You know, there are a number of temporary workers across Wisconsin that wouldn't have funding for it. So it's like it makes sense to pass a budget. I part of this process that has really frustrated me is how much of it has happened behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And I get that they need to, you know, need to negotiate, but so much of this has happened behind closed doors. And then, like, basically 48 hours after we see the deal, less than 48 hours after we see the deal from announced from Governor Evers, we're going to have people voting on it. That just doesn't, I don't think that gives enough time for public to react to a really complicated, detailed piece of legislation. It's a, you know, $111 billion, whatever the numbers on the budget are. It's a huge budget. And I think you need to have a little bit more time for people to process it and see if there needs to be some final improvements and all of that. But to get back to the point that you were making, Greg, you know, I think the wins that they were able to have in this budget for childcare, for the UW system, for a number of other capital projects, I think is pretty significant. And I mm-hmm. think, again, what I've been hearing as I've been talking to people about this negotiation is that Dianne Hesselbein, the state Senate Democratic minority leader, really did a terrific job in the negotiations once she was finally brought to the table.
And that's the big worry I have is, like, I don't have a problem with any of these reps having a problem with it. And I have no problem with them saying we want more, because I think that if Tony Evers had his druthers, he would have way more in his budget. But it's a two-part question. One, do you really think Tony Evers is going to veto this thing? And two,
no.
Is the budget at risk of losing things if the Democrats come up and start making noise and saying, well, we want more, and the Republicans just say, well, to heck with you, we're going to take out this stuff, we're going back to the drawing board, and too bad, so sad. We thought we had a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, I think there is some different dynamics from the Assembly versus the Senate. In the Assembly, Republicans can pass a budget with only Republican votes. You know, so Assembly Democrats can make a lot of noise talking about what was missed in this budget,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they are not going to be, you know, they're kind of out of the process for this to a certain extent.
Right.
Because Robin Voss and Assembly Republicans have the votes to pass this with only Republican votes. I do wonder if there's more they could have gotten if Hesselbein was at the table for this earlier. Because as we've been talking about this for weeks, that Steve Nass and Chris Kapinga, if we have the pronunciations on that correct, have been no votes. And so it's been the case for weeks that Senate Democrats were needed to come to the table. And as I reported last week on Civic Media, she was brought into negotiations, I believe, on Thursday. And then things happened quickly once she was brought to negotiations. And so I think she's going to be in favor of it. And there are a number of kind of more swing seat Democrats who are going to be in favor of this, too. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who have expressed support include Jody Habersinikin, Kristen Alfheim, and Sarah Kieski. Well, those are three state senators who won tough races
yep.
on new maps last fall. So I think it is significant that, you know, some of those who are in closer, more competitive districts are saying, like, let's take the win here and we can celebrate that.
If you're just joining us, we have Dan Schaefer here. He is the political editor of Civic Media, as well as the founder and creator of the multi-award winning Recombobulation Era. And he's recombobulating with us early this week because we're not going to be here on Friday. And Dan, the thing I have to say is, you know, at the risk of looking, well, you know what? I don't really care about parties right now. I care about Wisconsin and democracy and the good stuff for good people. This is kind of what we always talk about, though, right? We talk about Republicans and Democrats coming together in a room, having a conversation, hashing out the problems, finding solutions, and not everyone's going to get everything they want. And the fact that they wanted to last week or a week and a half ago cut $87 million from the UW system.
Yes.
And now I think how much is in that between capital improvement and just funding the UW system?
Hundreds of millions
of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
This is a compromise is not a bad word. It's a good thing. Right. And I'm not trying to invalidate the feelings of the senators and the assembly members who have a problem with this, but if we can make this one work here, what about in 2 years, the conversations we can have in 2 years? And, you know, it's not perfect. Agreed. But this is better than we were looking at a week ago.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. And I think some of the things that people are upset with is not there not being new funding for public education. And I think there are some groups that are just going to be dug in on that there, mm-hmm. and say that, like, we need to increase for public education. I don't know what the status of this budget would be had things not changed last week with the Senate Democrats.
Right.
And I think that to me, and you go back to all the conversations that we've had about fair maps,
yeah.
all the conversations yeah. that we had last fall about these tough districts in the state Senate. Well, we had fair maps for the first time. Half of the state Senate was up. Democrats won all five of the five most closely competitive seats in that. And it is because of that, is because the people of Wisconsin in those districts spoke with their votes and made a difference. That is the reason that this is different, because otherwise we're just looking at the same dynamic between Evers and Voss
disagreeing
that mm-hmm. we've seen for the past three budget cycles. The only different thing here is the fact that state Senate they needed some votes from state Senate Democrats, and state Senate Democrats were invited to the table and made a real difference for Wisconsinites in this budget.
Don't ever let anybody tell you your vote doesn't count.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Is the perfect example of it.
And I would argue the point that this was where it wasn't just the last three budget cycles, but the current one, because up until last week, it was the same old Voss and Evers don't like each other. And I don't care. They both sides were gone. There was nothing happening. We had the threat of going back
to walk away.
Yeah. And right. I'm throwing all my love and support to Dianne Hesselbein for walking in the room and probably slamming a piece of paper down and saying, "We're going to fix this right now because we look like fools." And it got done. And that is the power of just having those discussions, having the conversation. And that helps us. And you're right, Dan. There are funding measures that were not met, and there are things that were not put into the budget that need to. Big mm-hmm. believer in more money for public education, but
still not expanding Medicaid here in this
right.
budget
yet right.
again.
Which is
like there are some misses for
insanity
sure.
Insanity to me, but that's
yep.
that, we will probably keep talking about that forever. But it just irks me a little bit that we're not counting this as a win. And I know there's listeners probably saying, "You're wrong, Greg," and that's fine. That's
why are we fighting harder? Why are we fighting harder?
Mm-hmm. We're fighting harder after the agreement's been made. And yeah. unfortunately, assembly members weren't brought to the table. But Dianne Hesselbein was, and she got in there yeah. and she got things done. And that is fantastic. I count this as a good start.
It's a start.
Yeah,
yeah, I would agree mm-hmm. with you. And we don't have a lot of time before we go to the breakdown, but I just want to say, isn't it by design that we push these budgets through so quickly so that no one actually knows everything that's in there? We were talking about the federal budget before you joined us, and this $40 yeah. million dollars for this statue of heroes, this garden of heroes, that's the stuff they don't want the public to know about. So let's just vote on it and get it done. Let's just get it done.
Always hate that part of the process. Get the public involved. Have these negotiations in public. You don't need to be behind closed doors all the time for this.
If you're so embarrassed you don't want to talk about it in public, that should be a sign. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. He is a new best friend. All the details on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the VEST, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up globally on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm so happy. Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are going on a road trip, baby.
Can't wait.
Matinair on Air and the Todd Allbaugh Show hitting the road this summer. Join us on our summer road trip. We're going to stop in Oshkosh.
Mm-hmm.
In Butternut. And Hayward. Everywhere to talk about the EAA Air Venture. There's Packers training camp going on. There's Lumberjacks.
Okay.
In Hayward. You're gonna get recruited. You know that.
Oh, and you're gonna find out just how I would die in the woods immediately.
Join us as we are on the road. Matinair on Air and Todd Allbaugh Show, July 16th, 17th, and 18th. If you're gonna be around the area, I hope you will stop out and say hello. We are hitting the road, summer 2025.
Yeah.
Right now, we're joined by Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here talking about the state budget before we went to the break. Where do we go from here? Is it a done? I mean, are we still? It's done, isn't it? Or they're still? No, they're still voting.
They're still voting today. I believe there are floor sessions for the Assembly and the Senate today. To vote on the state budget, but I'm expecting it to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially after Governor Evers got behind it, legislative Republicans got behind it, and enough Democratic state senators are behind it. I'm expecting this budget to pass pretty comfortably.
And is this his statement on a third term?
He said he would let us know after the budget is done.
And this is a pretty gutsy budget. Like, if the way it was going, I was like, oh, I don't know. And now, I mean, this is not the work of him to specifically, but Senate Democrats. So, but is this a declaration, do you think, Dan? Dan Schaefer, do you think?
That's a good question. I obviously, you know where I stand. When it comes to Evers running for a third term, I wrote a very extended piece on why I think he should not run for a third term. Go check that one out at the Recombobulation area. Drop the paywall on it if you wanted to read the whole thing. But I do think I'm expecting him to announce for a third term.
Yeah.
I do think it's probably going to happen. I think he has, what is it, like 10 days to review the budget for line item vetoes. Part of the budget agreement that he would not touch any of the areas that they agreed upon with those line item vetoes. Republicans are pretty spooked after what he pulled 2 years ago.
They're very stung.
For sure. And so, you know, he's going to have some, I'm sure there will be something, though, that he will partial veto, maybe that was outside of the agreement, whatever it might be. So I expect that to come over the next few days and for, you know, the announcement probably to come shortly thereafter. I saw Jesse Apoyan from the Journal Sentinel mentioned the other day that in 2015, 10 years ago now, Scott Walker signed his budget. I think it was also kind of in a similar timeline, a little bit late into July. But then he, right at the day after signing the budget, he announced he would be running for president. So I wonder if that is a little bit past his prologue here.
That's interesting, though,
the timing.
Because when I think of Scott Walker in the 4th of July, I think of Scott Walker and the Republicans' efforts to gut the open records law while everybody was going off on vacation. Just kind of assuming that no one was going to notice this and we could just pass this on the holiday weekend. Yeah, that didn't happen. Nice try, though.
Yeah, but you know what's great? Mm-hmm. He lost in the primary and then he got booted out of office. So, you know,
pretty quick, too.
Double whammy win for Wisconsin.
Pretty quick. All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left. You have been retweeted by someone in very, very particular.
Yeah, I got retweeted by Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday.
Yeah!
How about that?
That's amazing.
I'm Giannis adjacent.
How did this happen?
So on Monday night, there was the free agency started for the NBA, and Brooke Lopez, one of my favorite all-time Milwaukee Bucks, was signed by the Los Angeles Clippers. Not a big surprise that he was going to be moving on after his contract ended. Signed a 2-year deal with the Clippers. Congrats to Brooke. But I was, you know, just posting some memories of Brooke Lopez, and I said that Brooke Lopez should have his jersey retired in Milwaukee when it's all said and done. And Giannis quote tweeted it and said 1,000,000%. So we're all on board. We're getting Brooke Lopez's number 11 hanging from the rafters in Fiserv Forum. If Giannis and I have anything to say about it.
when you saw that come through, when you saw the notification, did you drop? I've had moments where people I really respect and love have either responded, retweeted, or in ultimate things, followed Missy Elliott, followed me, and I will throw my phone across the room and be like, well, I can't say anything anymore because now they're sort of in my life, and everything else just will be dumb.
you've reached like the pinnacle of Twitter, Dan, now.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest basketball player of all time.
Retweeted me.
You know, I was thinking, how many people are in this club who have been retweeted by Giannis Antetokounmpo and Julie Louis-Dreyfus? Is it just me? Is this the exclusive club here?
I think in research of this question, we found it's a very specific parameter you've set for yourself.
I think there's room for a poster behind you that says just that. Retweeted by Giannis and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I'll frame it right over
there
here.
There you go.
President, vice president, and treasurer of the Julie Louis-Dreyfus Giannis Retweet Club.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's very exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. And a big day for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I was just going to ask.
Making a whole lot of moves.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You might catch me watching a game or two next season. I'm interested to see what they're doing. Is this new kid from Serbia, this 19-year-old,
and some good trades. The big signing yesterday was Miles Turner. Signing him away from the emerging rival, Indiana Pacers. So now the Bucks have a great replacement for Brooke Lopez. It's going to be a fun season.
Dan Schaefer, our political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Make sure you subscribe. It is fantastic. Thank you so much, my friend. We will see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The House voting tonight on advancing the Senate's version of President Trump's mega spending bill. This after the House took 7 hours to get to this point. Not all Republicans are on board. Texas Congressman Keith Self, Indiana's Victoria Sparse, Georgia's Andrew Clyde, and Pennsylvania's Brian Fitzpatrick all voting no. A jury convicting Sean Diddy Combs of prostitution-related offenses, but acquitted him of the more serious offenses in his federal trial, defense attorney Mark Agnifilo.
It's a great victory for Sean Combs. It's a great victory for the jury system.
The judge denied Combs bail till sentencing, citing a pattern of violence. Brian Koberger pleading guilty to the killing of four University of Idaho students while they slept. His plea deal avoids the death penalty. Seven people missing after a huge explosion at a fireworks warehouse outside of Sacramento, California. This is ABC News. A dispute is